wonderful Sabbath day it is. Pleasure to be here. We want to consider a bit about trust and obedience. I want to start this discussion by going to Scripture. We'll go to Genesis 1, starting with verses 26 through 31. Yahweh said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh he created him, male and female he created them. Yahweh blessed them, and Yahweh said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then Yahweh said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life in it, has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. Yahweh saw that all he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Yahweh loved his creation. He established a personal relationship with his creation in the beginning, in the garden, in the earth. He had created man in his image and given control over to the earth. Yahweh trusted his created beings to care for the whole of his creation. Yahweh turned over the keys to the new creation, to Adam. The relationship here was strong. Yahweh gave control of the new creation to Adam with only one restriction. We find that in Genesis 2, looking at verses 15 through 17. Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, "From any tree in the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Yahweh has given his creation a loving relationship, all the provisions one would ever need, work to occupy the hand, and a very fulfilling life. Then, Yahweh said in Genesis 2:18, "Then Yahweh Elohim said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" That was the completion of creation. A simple, wonderful existence, walking and talking with the King of the universe, trusting one another to do only good for each other, a true friendship. The only caveat in this scenario was to not eat from that tree, or, "Friend, you will not like the consequences of your action. If you eat, you will die." They trusted each other. Obedience. is truly key with Yahweh. I want to go now to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 20 through 26, where it's written, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I did obey the voice of Yahweh and went on the mission on which Yahweh sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep, oxen, the choicest of things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to Yahweh, your Elohim, at Gilgal.' Samuel said, 'Has Yahweh as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed that, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the word of Yahweh. For rebellion is the sin of divination, excuse me. For rebellion is the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has rejected you from being king.' Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of Yahweh and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship Yahweh.' But Samuel said to Saul, 'I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel.'" Saul was given specific instructions, and he chose to do things his own way rather than the way Yahweh told him to do them. I guess Saul didn't trust Yah to be giving him the proper instructions. He thought he could do it a little better. Trust is key to obedience. If we don't trust someone, we have a tendency to hesitate when they tell us something or delay if they want us to do something, just because we don't trust them. Let me share an example with you. Suppose you're a happily married individual. You're in love with your spouse. You trust your spouse implicitly. You've had no trouble in your relationship at all. A trusted friend, a relative, a brother, a sister, a member of your assembly, someone that you are comfortable with as being a truthful person, approaches you and says that they have knowledge that your spouse is now and has for some time been having an affair. This is not true. What was just told to that person was not true. It was a lie. But you have been told by a trusted source. Has your opinion of your spouse been compromised? Even though it's not true, do you feel betrayed? Something in your relationship has changed. Even though it's not true and your spouse would never dream of betraying you and your spouse loves you dearly, still something inside of you has changed because of a lie. The trust that once existed between you and your spouse has been broken. Confrontations and discussions on this matter will ensue. Your spouse will doubt your fidelity and question you because how could you even think such a thing? Remember, it was all a lie. Lies have power. The power to break trust, and that broken trust can call a loving relationship into question. Okay. What does that have to do with anything? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Where I want to share with you from Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Where it says, excuse me. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has Elohim said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will surely die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for Elohim knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Thank you. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Adam and Eve trusted Yahweh. They had a loving relationship and they believed what was told to them. The serpent questioned that relationship. Did he restrict you in any way? Why would he hold back from you in a loving relationship? You surely will not die. He knows that when you eat from the tree, you will become like him. And he can't allow that, can he? Something happened in the garden. Something happened to Adam and Eve. They trusted all of Yahweh's creation. Why would they not trust the serpent? They listened. The serpent told them a lie about their relationship. And something then happened to their relationship with Yahweh. Now there is doubt. There's mistrust. There's secret agendas, conspiracy theories. Man has lost everything because they believed a lie. Did Adam die in the day that he ate? The implication was that you would surely die if you ate of the tree, you know. The implication was that you would die right then. You eat from it and you'd fall dead, or you would die that day. Did Adam die in the day that he ate? Excuse me. I'm going to share with you from Psalms, chapter 90, verse 4, where it says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. And also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with Yahweh one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. If we use that reckoning for the length of a day, according to Genesis 5:5, Adam lived 930 years. So if one day is as 1,000 years, he died in that day. And what he was told was accurate. Going on from the garden, we find that Adam's descendants have failed to trust Yahweh as well. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 19, we find the account of Noah. Then Elohim spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth, I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Elohim said, this is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all successive generations, I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is with me, and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between Elohim and every living creature of all flesh that is in the earth. And Elohim said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Now the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Yahweh promised a new beginning for the sons of Noah. This was to be a fresh start for their relationship and a renewed covenant. Do you think the language that was given to Noah and his sons was sufficient enough to know that he meant that he was going to reestablish a covenant? It was repeated and repeated, and they just lived through a flood. The sons of Noah had seen the hand of Yahweh. They had seen his mighty power. Still, there was something, a hint of a doubt. Could they really trust the Creator? Even though he said he would never do that again, in their mind, something happened. They want to know if they could trust him. Let's look at Genesis 11. Verses 1 through 4. Remember, Yahweh had just promised to reestablish a covenant with the sons of Noah and renew that relationship. Genesis 11, 1 through 4. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Rather than returning to the relationship that once existed before the serpent, the sons of Noah opted to strike out on their own and build their own name, rather than accept and serve the name of Yahweh. The trust had not returned. They were still wary of the Creator. They can serve themselves and would be the way of the world. Hasatan Lai had lived on in the children of Noah. They would be their own object of worship. Of course, other Elohim crept into their lives over time, but there was something that had changed about their relationship with Yahweh, something inside that they could not overcome. Yahweh tried to reestablish that relationship, to regain that trust that was lost due to the lie of Satan. Through many trials, the children of Abraham were caused to be slaves in Egypt. Still, it was time to try and reestablishing a relationship once again. Yahweh contacted Moses, telling him about his special task. Moshe was hesitant to approach Pharaoh as a representative of the Most High. Perhaps Moshe didn't trust Yahweh. We find this interaction in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. Then Moshe said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'Yahweh has not appeared to you.'" Yahweh said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." Then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Moshe fled from it, but Yahweh said to Moshe, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by the tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Yaakov, has appeared to you. Yahweh further said to him, "Now put your hand into your bosom." And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, "Put your hand back into your bosom." So he put his hand into his bosom again. And when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even those two signs, or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. That ought to do it, huh? Should be some kind of a sign that he had been talking with the Creator. Then Moshe said to Yahweh, "Please, Yahweh, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Yahweh said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now then go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he said, Please, Yahweh, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of Yahweh burned against Moshe, and he said, Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth. And I will teach you what you are to say and do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people. And he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as Elohim to him. You shall take in your hand this staff, with which you shall perform the signs. Then Moshe departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, Please let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt, and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moshe, Go in peace. Moshe didn't want to trust Yahweh. He didn't want to do what was required of him. He argued with Yahweh. Something was missing from Moshe's character, you know, but he went. After Israel was brought out of Egypt, they moaned and complained and found fault in every turn. They lost their trust in the one who delivered them from slavery. They doubted the Creator, longing for their former life in Egypt. Israel waited at the base of Mount Sinai for Moshe to return. They feared and lost faith. Their trust was in their own hand. They demanded that Aaron make them a golden calf that they might appeal to Elohim in the ways that they knew in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Exodus 32:7-10 says, Then Yahweh spoke to Moshe, Go down at once, for your people whom you have brought up from the land of Mitzrayim have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, This is your Elohim, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim. Yahweh said to Moshe, I have been this people. And behold, they are an obstinate people. Yahweh said to Moshe, I have seen this people. And behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. Yahweh was not amused. Moshe pled with Yahweh to spare the people for Yahweh's sake, that his name be held in esteem. Moshe pled with Yahweh and said, Don't be that Elohim that brings the people out of Egypt just to slaughter them in the desert. The people did not trust their Elohim. But Moshe was seeing Yahweh differently. He was changing. We are a sad lot. Our relationship has been broken, and the doubt of our Creator carries on, by and large, to this day. We continue to doubt Yahweh. Our hope is to believe He is who He says He is, and to restore our relationship with Him. Yahweh sent an emissary to help us to renew our trust, to renew the covenant that we had with Him. He sent Yeshua HaMashiach to restore that which had been lost. Men that knew Yeshua had a change of heart. They found a new faith and trust in their Creator. Go with me to Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, where it's written, "When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, 'We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in His name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.' But Peter and the emissaries answered, 'We must obey Elohim rather than men. The Elohim of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a stake. He is the one whom Elohim exalted to His right hand as a prince and savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whom Elohim has given to those who obey Him.'" They found a renewed, trusting relationship with the Creator of the universe. Through long suffering, Yahweh was realizing the renewal of the way it was to be in the beginning, before the lie. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 1 through 5. "Kepha, an emissary of Yeshua Messiah, to those who reside as aliens scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father, by sanctifying work of the Ruach, to obey Yeshua Messiah and be sprinkled with His blood. May favor and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who according to His great compassion has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in the heavens for you, who are protected by the power of Elohim through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Surely, if we trust our Elohim to be who He says He is, and to accept the work of renewing the relationship that Yeshua did, we are no longer a stiff-necked people, as in the days of old. We welcome the return to the former things, the renewal of the covenant between Yahweh and his people. Israel once shall once again become heir to the promises and dwell in the land that Yahweh has given us. Hallelujah.